message, the title, Four Must-Have Gifts for Christmas. And when I looked at this verse, James chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, I kind of went back to Christmas from my childhood. And how many of you have brothers and sisters? Aunts and uncles? Grandparents? I don't know, you know, when I think of Christmas gifts, here's how I looked at it, is I knew my sisters had to give me a gift. They had to. But they didn't want to give me a gift. But they had to get me something. So there it would be under the tree wrapped. And it would say, to Michael from your sister. And then there'd be something from the grandparents. And usually it was something squishy, which meant it was probably clothing. And so in my mind, and you have to go back to the mind of a six-year-old who maybe wasn't all there, and you have to think, okay, I've got gifts from my grandparents, probably clothes. I've got gifts from my sisters. But then what gifts did I really want to open? And you had to open them in a certain order. But I always knew I was getting something good from my parents. My sisters would just run into the store, grab something, run out. But when it came to my parents, usually it was something that was on my wish list. It was something I wanted. And when I look at this verse, James chapter 1, verse 17, notice what it says. It takes me back to my childhood. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from our Father in heaven. And so this morning, what I want to talk about are, usually there's something, you know, four must-have gifts at Christmas, four things you have to have for this Christmas. But here are the must-have gifts I want to share with you. And here's how we want to build it up this morning. Notice what these verses have to say about Christmas and about gifts. Notice what it says, Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It says that God's gifts and calling are irrevocable. In other words, when God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it back. His gifts are permanent. His love, his mercy, everything God gives us is permanent. Notice this one, 1 Corinthians 1, 7. So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse is talking about how God has poured into our hearts spiritually. But the point is this, you're not lacking in any gift. In other words, God knows your deepest needs, your deepest desires. God knows exactly what you want when you need it. And that's what God does. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are born separated from God, but when we receive, and notice what it says about this gift, it's a what kind of gift? It's a free gift. And it's eternal life in Jesus Christ. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's why Ephesians 2 can say this, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I guarantee that when tomorrow morning comes and there are gifts under the tree, you will not say to your children, or you will not say to a friend or to a spouse, oh, before you open that gift, would you mind doing all the windows? Hey, it's Christmas morning. Would you like to open your gifts? Yeah, sure we would, Dad. Okay, go wash the car. Notice what this says about salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is the what of God. Salvation is the gift of God, not a result of works. No matter, yes, we should do good things. Yes, we should, you know, follow the example of Jesus. We should be loving, kind, forgiving. But no amount of works, nothing you can do, can give you salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. Kindness, love, forgiveness. Those are things you do after you are saved to show that you are God's child. And so those are things, these are all gifts. But when we talk about other gifts, notice this. Four gifts you must unwrap this Christmas. It's there. It has your name on it. God is offering it to you, but in order for you to actually have that gift, you have to unwrap it. And the first gift I want to say that you need to unwrap this year, right now, this morning, the first gift that you need to unwrap, number one, is God's Word. God's Word. That's number one. Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States, said this, "I have a very simple thing to ask of you. I ask every man and woman that from this day on they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this great book." Number one, the first gift you must unwrap this Christmas, God's Word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Notice what he says. Don't let the Word of God, it needs to be a daily part of your life. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. But notice what happens. When you unwrap the gift of God's Word, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I don't know how you define prosperity and success, but I define it as being in God's good books. I define prosperity and success as having God working in you and through you and desiring to use you for His glory. When you make the Word of God part of your daily life, God promises to work in your life. In fact, I put down here three ways to benefit from the Word of God. Number one, become a daily walker. If you want to benefit from the Word of God, number one, become a daily walker. Out in our lobby, we have these devotional books. This is the one for January. And this is a daily Bible reading guide that takes you through the Bible in 1 year. We have several different months. This is January of 2018. But this starts in Genesis, and so you read Genesis and Exodus. But there are other months out there. If you wanted to start reading the Bible every day, you could start with Matthew. You could start with John. You just need to find the right book. But if you want to start on January 1st with Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, this is what you need to do. To unwrap the gift of God's Word, to be a person who benefits from the Word of God, number one, you need to become a daily walker. Number two, in 2018, you need to become part of a weekly discipleship group, a Bible study group that lets you learn the Bible. So you need to become part of a weekly discipleship group, part of a weekly Bible study, or you can let us help you start one. Maybe in your neighborhood you'd like to start a Bible study. Maybe in your work you'd like to, say, meet once a week with some other workers at lunchtime or break time. But you need to become a daily walker every day in the Word of God. Every week you need to be learning the Word of God or teaching the Word of God or studying the Word of God. Number three, it's my desire that in 2018 we will start to have a monthly time of Scripture-based worship and prayer. That one evening a month, we'll get together and we'll sing and we'll pray around Scripture and we'll learn how to worship and pray through Scripture. But we need to benefit from the Word of God. As this old saying says, lay hold of the Bible until the Bible does what? Lays hold of you. Be in the Word of God. The first gift you need to unwrap is the Word of God. Number two, you need to unwrap God's grace. Now, grace is kind of a strange word, because most people, right before they eat a meal, they say what? They say, that's what our culture says, is let's say grace. But grace is more than that. Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's power in your life. There's different ways to describe it. One person spelt the word, took the letters, God's riches, at Christ's expense. But the best definition of grace is simply this: God's undeserved favor in your life. You need to unwrap God's grace. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 says that we are justified by His grace as a what? Gift. To be justified is a legal term. It means to be declared not guilty. I don't think the way I should. I haven't lived the way I should. I don't always follow God the way I should. But when I receive the forgiveness of Christ, God looks at me as if I was not guilty. And that term, declared righteous, is the word justified. And God justifies us not because Mike is good, not because you are good, but because who died for us in our place? Jesus. And so we are justified by His grace as a gift. And that grace is God's favor in your life. Think of it this way. Three thoughts on grace. God has forgiven me because of His grace. Have I forgiven myself? A lot of times, we can say, I know God forgave me. I know Jesus died for me on the cross. I know Jesus was born in a manger to become the King of human hearts and to become the King of the world. God has forgiven me, but God's grace lets you forgive yourself. And sometimes people say, well, Mike, you don't know the people I've hurt. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things in life that have happened to me. I can't forgive myself. God's grace says, yes, you can. God has forgiven you. You can forgive yourself, your failures, your mistakes. Have you forgiven others? God has forgiven you. Have you forgiven yourself? Are you forgiving others? Thought number two. Number one, God has forgiven me. Well, because of His grace. Well, number two, God's grace strengthens me. That's what grace is for. That God's grace, that because even though we're not deserving of it, God wants to work in your life. He wants to give you spiritual victory. He wants to give you hope and peace and joy. But are you asking God for strength? You know, it's as simple as the Lord's Prayer. You know it. I know you know it. Give us this day our what? Our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us. God's grace strengthens us, but have you asked God for strength? And then number three, God has forgiven me. God has strengthened me. Number three, God's grace sustains me. Are you falling before Him in worship and prayer? The last song we sang was, O Come All Ye Faithful. And how does it end? O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Are we? If God's grace has forgiven me, if God's grace has strengthened me, if God's grace sustains me, am I falling before Him in worship and prayer? And thanking God. We need to unwrap God's grace. So four gifts we need to unwrap. Number one, God's word. Number two, God's grace. Number three, God's peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Notice what they said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among those with whom He is pleased. I don't know about you, but when I look in the world, when I read the newspaper, I don't see peace. God's talking about a different kind of peace. Ultimately, Jesus will come back and rule the world. But what about right now? What kind of peace is God offering? He's offering the peace of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Notice what it says here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you lie awake at night. Do you ever wake up sometimes worrying about stuff? Do you ever wake up sometimes and you're stressed about something? It's an interesting thing, but people tell me all the time, last night I just couldn't get this out of my mind. Notice the peace that God wants you to unwrap. And here's the interesting thing. You can't have this peace unless you unwrap it. And so here's the thing. You're going to get gifts tomorrow for Christmas. And I'm afraid to do this. But someone tell me, what's one gift you hope you're going to get? And let's see if it fits my sermon. What's one gift that you hope to get? Okay, maybe from one of our from one of our younger adults who still want gifts. What's something you hope you're going to get tomorrow? Legos. Okay. All right. Thank you. Star Wars Legos? Okay. Good. Okay. And so, yes, I have it on good authority that you will be getting Star Wars Legos tomorrow for Christmas. To which your mom is shaking her head saying, no, now I got to run to the store. But here's the whole thing. When it says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, you have to unwrap the gift of peace. Just like Legos, they're going to be in the box. There's going to be a diagram on the front that says this is what it's supposed to look like. But you have to take it out of the box. And the same thing, if you were to hire a guard, would you say, okay, I want to hire you as a guard, but just stay home. Just stay in bed. I'll pay you. When people say, do you have a guard? I'll say, oh yes, I have my own personal guard. I pay them $1,000 a week. But you tell the guard, just stay in bed. Now, what's wrong with that situation? They're not guarding you. They're not protecting you unless they're where? With you. And the whole thing here is, notice what it says here, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, but only if you let the peace of God. See, you need to cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. So you need to say, you can't just say, oh, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know, oh, I've got all these people coming tomorrow, and my temperamental oven, it may act up. What happens if the water heater breaks down? And the water heater has never broken down, but you know what? It could break down tomorrow. The whole meal will be ruined. And so the whole thing is this. You have to give to God. You have to let Him guard. And you have to pray to God and say to Him, God, I would like Your peace to look after this situation in my life. God, I would like Your peace to calm my fears. You may even have to call in God's grace. God, I can't stop thinking about this. I need Your grace, Your strength to sustain me, to trust You in this situation. So you need to let God's peace come out of the box and guard you. You need to let God's grace come out of the box and sustain you. Well, what was the first one? You may need to call on God's word and find a verse where it says, my God is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Or maybe you need to say, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Or maybe you need to pull this verse out of the box. He will never leave you or forsake you. You need to find the verse. Because God's peace wants to guard your heart and your mind. But you can't have it unless you unwrap it. It's of no use unless you put it where it's supposed to go. If you get a wireless security camera this year for Christmas, you've got to put it by the front door. Don't leave it in the box. The other thing you need to do are follow these three steps. Acceptance. If you want peace, you need to accept that God is bigger than your problem. Number two, you need to focus. You need to focus on the Word of God. Find that verse. And then number three, you need to be grateful. You need to be in prayer. God, thank You. I may not have the answer right now. I may not see exactly what's going to happen. But God, I accept that You're in control. I accept that anything that happens to me is for my growth. God, I just want to focus on this verse right now. This verse says that you will be with me. You'll never leave me. And then, God, I want to thank you. Acceptance, focus, gratitude. God, I want to thank you that even though I don't see the answer right now, I know that you're working and you love me and you care about me. If you want to have God's peace, you have to unwrap it and you have to put it where it's supposed to go. One more gift, number four, God's joy. Notice Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Great joy. I love that verse. But notice this. Let me show you something interesting in Scripture. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Matthew 2:10. Did you know that you can go to Luke 2:10? And it says, and the angel said to them, fear not. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy that will be for all the people. Now, what are they announcing to the world? Tomorrow is what day? Christmas Day. What are they announcing to the world? That the Savior was born. But here's what I want you to notice. Matthew 2:10, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Joy is the feeling. Rejoicing is the action. So they rejoiced with great joy. The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you news of great joy. But now notice this. You ready? Matthew chapter 28, the end of the book. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and what? Great joy. And ran to tell his disciples. Matthew 28:8, Luke 24:52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Hold on here. Those first two verses from Matthew and Luke talked about when Jesus was what? Born. These last two verses talk about when Jesus what? Rose from the dead. In other words, there's no possible situation where God doesn't want to give you great joy. In fact, one person said it this way. Joy is supernatural delight in the person of God, the purposes of God, and the people of God. And then he finished the statement with this. Let's unpack that. And that's Pastor James in Chicago. Think about this. Joy is the feeling. Rejoicing is the action. God wants to give you joy. He wants you to delight in who He is. He wants you to trust Him as Savior. He wants you to delight in His purposes. He wants you to delight in His people. God wants you to have joy, but you need to turn joy into action and be a person that rejoices. In fact, let's finish off with this. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. This passage is talking about the grace of God, but it also applies to the gift of God's Son, Jesus. It applies to the gift of His salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. It applies to His grace, it applies to His peace, it applies to His word, it applies to the joy He wants to give you, it applies to the salvation that we can have when we receive Christ as our Savior. And so as we finish off, sing it with me. Sing this with me.